Today I want to talk about why church, why we're even here, if we're even here for the right reason. I dare say some of you aren't even here for the right reason. And so I thought that something that we really need to look at, and when I'm talking about church also, we have to understand the term. Some of you are thinking church and you're thinking of this brick building. That's not the church. So if you're thinking that, erase that from your brain, because you've been thinking a false thing. The church is someone who trusted Jesus Christ, and as a result of them trusting Jesus Christ, finding forgiveness of sins, they were called out of this world unto Christ. Ekklesia is the Greek word, is the word which we use today for church. A believer, then, is part of the body of Christ, an individual, and when we gather here collectively, you know, as a group, this is called the local assembly of believers. And so this is the local assembly or the local church, but you individually are God's child. You make up his church. Okay, so the issue is then we have to ask is why? Why in the world do we even come to this local assembly? So we need to understand a few things, and I think this is the first thing. Why? We have to look at what God did first. Why in the world did God even create the church? Think about it. Why did he do this? What was his whole motive behind it? And as I thought about it, probably the bottom line, just a very simple thing here, is love. God, in fact, there's a passage in Scripture, it just goes this way. God so loved the world. Not because of anything you did. None of us are that good or that great or that wonderful. If you're thinking that way, you're delusional. God just so loved the world. And there's another passage here is that we can find in another part of Scripture. It says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. In other words, you don't love God first and just say, oh, yeah, I love you, God, and then maybe you love me. No. You got it all backwards. God loved the world, and he loved us first. Love. We also have another passage here. But God, because of his great love, love for us, part of his creature, his creation, God commanded or demonstrated his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners. Just love. Why is the church here? Well, number one, it all began because of God's love. Even when we're wretched sinners, unworthy of anything even despicable, as we all are, God's love. So we understand why the church, number one, because why? Because God so loved the world, he needed to do something. We were sinners. Separate from him, if he didn't do something, we would all perish. Love. So the next question we have to ask is then what? Because what I mean by what, it's this. What did God do because of this love? You know, you and I can be sitting here and we can be saying, oh, I love so-and-so. And you can imagine that until the cows come home. You can imagine that from this day until you live to be 106 years old and you die and never do anything with that. Never tell them, never do anything. So if you love and you genuinely love, there's got to be action put to this. And so the action that we can see, what did this love do? Well, love did one thing. He sent Jesus. Who is God's Son, holy, eternal, in the heavenly places with God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're eternal, co-eternal, all of eternity, and he sent his Son. And in fact, it says this, and Scripture says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because of love, he sent his Son. Because of love, not only that, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, notice the rest of the verse here, because I didn't give it before, Christ died for us. Because of his love, his action created something. He had to do something because we were sinners. And he sent his son. And part of that doing is Christ died for us, because if he didn't die and then raise again and didn't shed his blood, let me tell you, we would all be going to hell. We would all be eternally separated from God. God's love made him do these things, moved him to do these things, so that you and I might have everlasting life. What is the gift? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. As a result of this, also his love, there was mercy. We were despicable, unworthy, and so he looks at us in absolute pity because we are miserable, wretched sinners. There was mercy. There was also forgiveness as a result of this. He forgave us. There was also new life that he is going to give to those that receive this gift. There's eternal life that he's going to give as a result of this, and there's also going to be hope. So this is what his love produced. He saw us as wretched and miserable and separate and not unworthy. And yet his love moved him to do something. He sent his son to die for us. He showed mercy, forgiveness. He's willing to offer new life, eternal life and hope. So there's one other step to this. There's the effects that are there. Multiple effects. How does this, in fact, I guess the question we have to ask, how did God's actions affect this world? What are the effects of this? Well, with those that received Jesus, they became a people of God. So if you're here today and you recognize that because of God's great love in your lost state and everything else, and you received Jesus, you became his child. A precious place to be. Forever his child. Not only that, then as a child, you received a changed life. The effects of his love. Changed life. And as a result of this new life that we have, this changed life, we find there's a restraint now of evil in the world, because as believers, we're standing for righteousness. And not only that, his Holy Spirit is indwelling the believer and working in this world. There seems to be a restraint of evil. The effect then, because of God's people, changed in this way, we became an army of ambassadors, ambassadors of reconciliation, reconciling a man separated from God who God does not want anybody to perish. And we're like these ambassadors going around the world to those people and pleading the cause that God has sent us here for. And it's effective, like an ambassador, to change the world for good, but also to make a people of God. Also, his kingdom is soon to come, because his kingdom is going to come. Oh, yeah, there's the spiritual kingdom that's here right now. But I'll tell you what, there is that kingdom when Christ is going to come from heaven and is going to rule and reign on this earth. And he's going to come back with the saints, with those people that have placed their trust in him. He will then personally rule and reign. That the effect of that is still to come, but that's still there. And then the last part, I put peace. And it's not just peace on this earth, but also even presently with those that are believers, he says, peace I give unto you. He gives us a peace in this world. We can live even in this dark world, miserable as it may be sometimes. He can give us peace. And so we understand why God created the church. By the way, those are the people that are called out. We understand the why. We understand what he did. We understand the effects of it. The effects is this. If you're a believer here, you're part of the effect. But it doesn't answer the question as to why church. So I'm going back to the why now. I'm going to why us. Why are we doing what we do? Why do we come to church Sunday morning? Why should we come Sunday night and Wednesday? Why? Is there a reason for this? Or is this because tradition? You know, you can think of movies that are out there, you know, where tradition, you know, it's no. Is it tradition? Is it just because it's a good thing to do? Because it feels good, makes you feel better? Is that why you're here? Well, the question is why? Why do we go to church? And the answer is very simple. Love. Now let me explain, because there's a verse that goes along with this love. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Because of what God did, the very moment you got saved, you became a new creature in Christ. You have been redeemed out of the prospect of an eternity in hell and separation from him for all of eternity. And not only that, has he lifted us out because of this love. He has shed it abroad in our hearts, giving us the Holy Spirit that indwells us, making us a new creature in the midst of this ugly world sometimes it can be. We also know this. It says, if any man love me, as a result of this new nature he gave us, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Well, part of it is that if you are a genuine believer, you're going to keep his words. And one of his, part of his words are that we will not forsake the assembling together ourselves as the manner of some are. In other words, you won't forsake this local assembling of believers because that's God ordained. It's part of his divine command that he did because he wants us to be edified and encouraged and built up. And that's all part of his divine command. Because we love God, because he shed his love unto us and filled us with this love and his Holy Spirit and the changed nature, we should, wow, I'm here because I want to love God. Also, Scripture says, the life which we now live. Now, I changed this. The Apostle Paul put it in first person. I just put it into the third person so all of us can read it if you are a genuine believer. He says, the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. So the whole purpose of our living now, because of what Christ, this new love and this changed life that God has made us, We just want to live by the faith of the Son of God. So we understand why. Why church? Well, because we've been made new creatures in Christ as part of God's divine commission, divine command as well. But all because we love him. It's the motive and the whole bottom line of what we do is we love God. I love my Savior. He redeemed me by his blood. So we know the why, the what. And what I mean by the what is then, what do we do because of this love? Not only this shed abroad in us, but our new love as we genuinely love now God as we ought. What do we do as a result of this? And, well, sacrificial living is part of it because this is what it says in Scripture, that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So as a result of our love, I can, you know, people every day, this is modern day Christianity. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, how I love him. I won't do anything he says, but I love Jesus. Oh, he's my friend. And we go out and we sin like crazy or we disobey his commands and do whatever we feel like doing. Well, he didn't save us for that reason. And if we genuinely love, and part of this love is shed abroad in our hearts, and we are new creatures in Christ, as a result of that, we're going to want to, which is our reasonable service, according to Scripture, there will be living sacrifices. What do you want me to do? Because I love you so much, Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. It's what the local assemblies should be all about. It's our reasonable service. We should just want to serve him, because let me tell you, eternity in hell is a long time. But he delivered us from that. Not only that, he gave us a new life. And then not only a new life, he gives us blessing and peace and all the other things that comes along with us. As a result of this, we want to serve him. And there's a lot of passages that talk about this service because I want to serve God because I love him. Serve him in any way. Little thing, big thing. It doesn't matter if it's big or little. Mowing the lawn, if it's whatever it is. Going to my neighbor and just serve him. Serve him. Oh, I want to worship him. I worship him because I love him. I want a fellowship. I want a fellowship with him. And you know what? I find fellowship with others that have the same faith in my Savior also because we are family, children of God. As a result, I want to be edified, you know, and edify others. And then I want to witness. I want to share the good news of the gospel because this is such a marvelous thing. So because of my love, I, you know, just naturally, there's certain things that want to evolve from that. Now, what if I take love out of this? What do we have if I remove love? Let's see, if we don't have the love for God, and then, well, why should I really be a living sacrifice? Why should I really serve him? Why should I worship him? Why should I fellowship with him if I really don't love him? And edify, have you ever tried to have fellowship with someone you don't love? Why should I witness about him if I really don't love him that much? Oh, well, some of you are saying, well, I have to. Well, then what you did, you took love out. And the reason why I have to be in church because everybody expects it. Well, that's called works. That's not love and that's not faith. I have to serve him. It's so hard, but I'll serve him anyway. Well, you know what? You have a work salvation. You do not have a faith salvation. I have to have fellowship with him. I have to witness. If you have that, I'll tell you what, you're missing the whole point. You're like the church at Ephesus that lost their first love. And the candle was removed. A genuine church does it because of love. Love that's been shed abroad in the hearts. Generally saved, and I love my Savior as a result of this. I'm going to live sacrificially, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to witness for him. And as a result of this, there ought to be effects. Remember how God's love affected things? Well, because of our love toward God, and it's affecting where we want to serve him, we want to do all these things. Now, again, I could sit and say, oh, I know I should serve him. I should be a sacrifice for him and do nothing. And a lot of people do nothing. They really don't want to do anything. Well, there may be a love issue that might be there, but it should affect. And my question is, how does our love toward God and toward the assembler, how does our love and sacrifice affect this world? Now, it ought to. If we have genuine love for God, we're going to want to serve him and do whatever he wants. How does it affect? Well, it's going to start meeting needs. Because you remember the story of the good Samaritan. He's a Gentile. He's going by and he finds this guy that's beaten up and been robbed, laying in the street. The priest walks by and other people walk by and they just leave him there. And this Gentile, who shows genuine compassion and care, and he meets the need of the guy that's been robbed and left naked in the side of the street. As a result of our love for God, we're going to want to meet the needs that God places in our path. Met needs. It's also going to affect souls because, you know, when we're meeting the needs, is they're going to say, well, why are you doing this? Well, I'll tell you what, because of what my Savior did for me. And the love for my Savior, because I love my Savior, I want to tell you about him. I mean, he saved me, he met my need, and I want to share to the world what my Savior has done because I love him. Because I'm living for him sacrificially day by day. As a result of that, there will be changed lives. Lives will be genuinely changed as a result of needs and discipled as well, is because I love my Savior, I'll disciple other people. And so they'll learn more. And lives will be encouraged. As a result of lives being encouraged, hope. In a world with no hope, we're just spreading the same hope that we have of this eternal life. And not only that, the peace that he gives us every day. And then not only that peace. So, why do I go to church? Well, because I love God. That's why I go to church. Because I want to be a living sacrifice for him. And I want to be able to use all those gifts, churches, fellowshipping, and churches is doing all the things, serving him and worshiping him and finding peace and encouragement and edified. And as a result of this, when I leave this building where this local church is, little churches, you are a church, and go out into this world, boy, you know, I want to, because I love my Savior, I want to do all these other things. What if I remove love? Let's see. Why should I meet that need? You know, I have that need. You know, if I meet that need in that person's life, it's going to cost me money and my 401k is going down. You know what? That bank, that savings account that I have, boy. And I only got, well, how much money do I have in my wallet? Meet that need? I need it. They don't need it. I need it. Because I don't love. I love myself anyways. And because I don't love my Savior, why should I win souls? Why should I encourage and give hope? Because really, at that point, you probably don't have much hope. Or I have to. If you have to, then you got the whole thing backwards. It's works again. Some of you have a work salvation. Don't have genuine faith. I have to meet needs. I have to win souls. I have to come to church. I have to. If that's the case, then really examine your heart. It ought to be because of the great love that's been shed abroad in our hearts and the great love that's been extended to us by God through Jesus Christ. So why do you go to church? Why are you here? I mean, really, why are you here? Why'd you come? I came today because, you fill in the blank, I love God. Because of that great love that's been shed abroad. Now, I recognize I'm talking to believers. Why did I come to church? I have to. But maybe there's no accident either. Maybe I came here seeking, searching. I'll tell you what, that Christ, God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that you might have everlasting life. He wants you to have life more abundantly in him. And he wants you to find the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing and to be his child and find an even fruitful life. So maybe if you're here, you need Christ, maybe. And that's easy to say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and come into my life and save me. Maybe you're saved. And you've been doing a lot of have-tos. I have to. I hope that you'll recognize that that's what it is then. And recognize it's a love issue. It doesn't mean that you're lost if you're struggling with that. It may mean, though, that the world has kind of stolen your heart, or there may be other things that have stolen your time. And there's needs that you need to say, Lord, hear mine. Sometimes I come for the wrong reason. Forgive me. Thank you for loving me so much that you gave your son. Thank you for meeting my needs day by day. Renew that love, restore that love within me so that I can show that love to others as well. That today I'll be to your glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're looking today at why church. Father, there are some here that are just seeking. Maybe they were not saved as of yet. And yet, Father, you stirred and worked in their hearts. You're drawing them unto yourself. And Father, if they are here and they need Christ, Father, I pray that today they'll bow their heads. And they'll say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Save me. Thank you for your great love you have toward us by sending your son, raising him again. And today I'm placing my faith in him alone. I'm receiving this eternal gift, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. Thank you. Maybe there are some here, saved. But the fire of love has just kind of flickered out. It's just a small smolder. We're here sometimes because we have to, or I guess I have to, or whatever reason. Father, I pray that you'll flame the smolder that's there and bring it back to a raging fire of love and desire for you. That the real reason of why we ought to be here is because we love you. We desire to worship you and we desire to serve you. Father, I pray that you'll work and move even in the invitation time, that you'll move in the hearts of people, that some need to come forward and say, Lord, here am I again. I'm just giving my life back. And we thank you for this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.